You're about to meet the man who created the playbook for companies to hire people with disabilities, Randy Lewis, an executive and an author, and a person who's changed so many lives, including ours, on today's episode of Driven by Purpose.
This is Driven by Purpose, a show about finding your purpose, building fulfilling careers, and helping people with disabilities live better lives. Hosted by three men who've lived it and are here to help you do the same. Special thanks to our presenting sponsor, Clean Logic, a leading bath and skincare company and a true pioneer in creating inclusive workplaces and increasing employment opportunities for people with disabilities.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Driven by Purpose. My name is Evan Rosenbaum, along with the co-founders of Clean Logic and the Inspiration Foundation, Isaac Shapiro.
Good to see you, Evan.
And Mike Esser.
How you doing, Evan?
And speaking of the Inspiration Foundation, which is an initiative to increase employment for people with disabilities by 10%, we are lucky enough to be joined by a pioneer, a real trailblazer in this space, a guy who was the Senior Vice President of Supply Chain Logistics at Walgreens and has been, like I said, a leader in disability inclusion and the author of No Greatness Without Goodness. Randy Lewis joins us today. Randy, what's going on?
It's finally a good day in Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, not for the, if you're a Bears fan, because they don't look great, but
Talking about banana baseball. That's our favorite sport here.
All right. Sir, look, I mean, Isaac has spoken very highly of you. I know that you have been such an important part of Isaac and Mike's decision to do the Inspiration Foundation and the SEAL. But before that, and I kind of want to start at the beginning, like, you have been such a champion for hiring people with disabilities for such a long time, really one of the first people to really in a position of power to do something, to make some noise and actually implement change. And I'm curious, I'd love to hear more about what inspires you, your North Star, and how you decided to kind of make this something that you decided to really kind of make your own here.
Well, how much time you got?
As much time as it takes.
A little longer today, actually. So
we got to talk to our sponsor. If you want an extra 30 minutes, you might need to pay for that, Randy.
Yeah.
Well, I'll make it pretty quick. I mean, sometimes you're in the right spot at the right time. And that certainly was, looking back, for me. I was working at Walgreens. We had our first child, which was great. Then we had our second child, Austin. We noticed he was really slow in language, and we finally got nagged so much by our in-laws and our parents to get him tested. We found out he had autism. You know, everybody knows that autism is a big range. Once you've seen one person with an autism, you've seen one person with autism.
Right.
And I remember asking the doctor, will this get better? And he said, I remember he took off his glasses and looked right at us and said, it may get worse. So that was our introduction to autism. And so we did all the early activities they do in school. You can start at 2 to try to get ready. And we'd go in those classes. At that time, parents could. Now,
right,
it's not so much. But I went in there, and I thought we had problems. And I looked at all those other kids, and my wife and I walked out and said, we had no problems. And I never forgot being in that room. And I think all of us parents share one hope. Those of us with children with disabilities, deep down, we'd like to live one day longer than our child, because we know what's waiting.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's going to happen after we're gone. And the other question is, who's going to do something about it? And we were hiring a lot of people, so I thought, gee whiz, if Walgreens can't do anything, who could? And then me in my position, if I couldn't do something about it, who would? So that was essentially the start of the whole thing. Who else is going to do something about it?
That's right, but you.
Yeah, I think we've been fortunate enough to be doing the show now for, I think we're at 19 or 20 episodes, and it seems to be a theme. It's a calling, you feel called, this you know, purpose. And then it's a moment where you have a fork in the road and you have a decision where you can just kind of let it go. And it's almost like the easy way, right? Or you can make a choice to like do something about it and use your resources and to help not just your family, but a lot of different people. And clearly you made that choice. And I'm curious. So after you made this decision, okay, I feel compelled to do something. What was it like when you went to other executives and you said, I want to start an initiative to help in this particular community? How was that received by the other executives?
Well, the only other executives that counted were the ones above me. So I had a limited number there. They were for it. I went in and said, okay, we're growing. I think we have a way. We're going to start. We're going to crawl, walk, run. That was what our mantra was at Walgreens. If we're going to try something new, crawl, walk, run.
Right.
Do it here, there. Let's see what works. Adjust it. Make it a little bigger and then scale it. And I remember the CEO asking me, so will this thing work? And I said, well, if it doesn't, you'll never know. And he said, okay. And again, it was the right timing. I'd been there long enough to have enough success. They knew I wasn't just blowing a bunch of smoke. And I wasn't radical because I said, we got to make money. But yep. We can serve the community at the same time. And everybody was for it because when we announced it, I announced it at a store manager meeting in Vegas. It was the first time anybody from supply chain had ever been invited to this meeting, 5,000 store managers, mostly because most of the problems in the stores are caused by supply chain. So
right.
They never invited. But when I did that and told them the story, it went from a room of bored people looking down at, you know, whatever they're doing. And when I said, we're going to hire a lot of people with disabilities, everybody, then all the eyes were on us. And at the end of that presentation, I asked out of the blue, this is in a round in the Paris Hotel, in the all surrounded, looking around the room, let's turn the lights up. If you have somebody in your life that you know or that you love that has a disability, would you stand up? And people started standing up all around the room. And eventually, of that 5,000, there were 1,000 people standing in that room.
Wow.
And it was no longer my initiative, no longer about supply chain. It was all of us.
Yeah.
And that's what gave it to life.
Can I tell you something,
yeah.
Randy? I mean, I'm sure you can relate to this. We were just having a conversation about how my daughter was born at 25 weeks, cerebral palsy, nonverbal in a wheelchair. A lot of challenges. And when I kind of came to terms with that, I felt alone. And there are moments in my life that I remember that I started feeling like there was a community there to help me and I wasn't alone. And hearing your story, it gives me goosebumps because it reminds me of exactly when the lights kind of came on to me, where I realized, whoa, I don't have to feel like I'm on an island fighting this fight by myself. There are all these people. And I think one of the things that story really puts a spotlight on is, you know, all these people, you know, alone, everybody knows somebody with a disability, but when you turn the lights on and you look around and give people an opportunity to say, hey, you're not alone. There's 5,000 people in this room, 1,000 people can relate. And if we team up and work together, we can really make an impact in all of our lives and for the business. And I just think it was a brilliant moment that you had, and it probably meant so much to all those people in that room. And it's so inspirational for me right now listening to that. It's amazing.
Evan, I want to add one more thing to that. Randy, this is Mike speaking. I have a 12-year-old daughter. She also has disabilities. And one of the questions I was going to ask you was, I know you had to present this to the people on above you, the CEO and stuff. My question was going to be like, then you had to transfer that to the rest of the team. And you obviously did it in that meeting, and 1,000 people stood up, right? So you had this incredible support system, people that were going to execute or help execute this vision that you had all across the organization. But I think what's important and what I commend you for is you're the guy that started it. And I think a lot of the times there's people who are thinking about it, have a connection to it, have a family member, a friend or something, But sometimes it just takes that one person to go up and do it. And then you have this army of people that will back you. And I think like that for me is what is amazing. And I hope that there are people, especially with this podcast, that can see that this is possible and you just have to take that first step. So thank you, Randy, for doing that. And in the industry that we're in now, I see so many things and it started with you and the program that you've created. So thank you for doing that. Like it's super inspirational to us here at Clean Logic as well. And even for me. So,
let me jump in here. Because I think it's great. We've started to talk about the story about Randy and his why and his North Star. But I think what inspires me a lot about Randy is now he built this facility. I think it's now 20 years, Randy, right? And it went to the Anderson University. And what I thought, and today I use a lot of what Randy's work in his partnership with Anderson University to create case studies. And I talk about the 5 economic benefits. What inspired you? What was the thought? Because you put this in place 20 years ago, then you partnered with Anderson University to build a case study. And now you've been able to take that. Can you talk about the work and how you came up and partnered with Anderson University? And then how did you get other retailers like Meijer and Winco to come on board? Because I think that's what's been amazing about your work is now that you're retired, you have a case study and you have other partners that are helping smaller businesses like ourselves saying, wow, like we can do it. You can do it at scale the way Walgreens did it. Why can't a small company like ourselves do what they're doing? So can you talk us through your whole mindset of the case study and how you're getting other people on board?
Everybody sees the end product when it's fantastic and they think, gee whiz, how can I get there? We didn't start going big. What we did, we crawled. We initially called in all the managers of the DCs, different DCs, and say, well, we just go out to some of these agencies and outsource some work or insource, meaning they bring people into the building, we give the contract, and they do ancillary work. That was our first step. And it worked, and everybody loved it. And I remember going to one of those buildings, and a woman showed me a picture of the group, and she said, "It's telling me how great that group was." And I didn't know who she was because she showed me a picture, and she was in the picture. And she saw my confusion and she said, "Well, I'm not one of them. I'm their supervisor from the agency." And I went, "Not one of them." And that kind of jerked me, make think, well, gee whiz, there's certainly some of these folks out there can do the work. So why don't we give them internships, hire them as temps, ask for coaches and people to volunteer, because that's part of this whole thing. You can't conscript people into this. You got to have their hearts before you have their soul. And that worked. Two peer coaches, you know, who did their work, but also helped the other person along. And that worked well. So it came time to build a new center. We said, let's go big. You know, we worked 2 people without disabilities for one. Let's go 1 out of 3. That would be 300 people in a building of, you know, almost 1,000. And that was the first building, and then it spread. So how we get other people to do it, it's not something that you hear about it until you see it or experience it. That's how we do. Come and bring all your questions, the ones you may be uncomfortable asking, all your doubts, bring those, and we put them with managers in a room. We call it the Las Vegas room because what goes on here stays here.
Yeah.
So you can ask craziest questions you want, like how do you fire a person with a disability or whatever question comes up. And all the managers are there to answer it. And then you go out the building, you see it, you talk to all these different people, and first of all, you'll have people come up to you and speak to you. That's never done in an industrial site.
Right.
But they see it. And then we turned around and said, if you'll do this, we'll give you everything. You know, this is not a competitive advantage. And that was from the very beginning. We said, when we're successful, we're going to give it away to the world.
Yeah.
Even our competitors. And they came, and some of them did great things, and some people went home, and it kind of just faded in the background.
Can I just add on to Randy can you give a little bit of the stats around the Anderson University? I could probably say I'm better than you because I'm now using it as my talking point, but would love to hear the great stats, especially just, you know, being at the facility a couple of months ago at the Anderson University conference, but the stats around how many people, the percentage, the productivity outside of all the DCs. Can you just give some of those stats of what that facility has accomplished so far?
Right. Well, first of all, same jobs, same pay, side by side, no difference. Because if you set lower standards, people will think they're all mascots.
Yeah. Right.
Or the first time you have to have a shrinkage in workforce, those people will be all gone. So we said, same. And we have specific deterministic measures of everything. We measure safety, we measure all kind of stuff. People with disabilities, and we studied that, perform as well or better. They work safer, more than twice as safe as typically abled team members. And here's the secret, they follow the rules. And most of our instructors are people with disabilities. Absenteeism is, it doesn't exist. kind of, let me put it that way. Absentee and days out is, and retention is twice as good as typically able people. So, and culturally, it changed the workplace. It changed the way we managed. And
yeah.
And you make the point. All the people we used were volunteers. All the coaches. And when we opened the building, said we're going to hire one out of three people in this building is going to be people with disabilities. So if you have 50 on your team, just remember a third of those will be people with disabilities. And a lot of they were concerned. You know, they liked the idea, but they were scared. And they didn't want to fire somebody. I said, but they got to perform. And we had a means to give them a qualified candidate. What we would do is find an agency that could fill these positions. We gave them a description of the job, not a job description, but because they're never fit your job. None of us had job descriptions that ever was what we did, correct? So we had to really get down to it. What are the specific skills? And we had them trained for that. And then we let them intern to learn the job for 9 weeks and be able to demonstrate that. And at that point, now they're going to be full-time employees. They've got a manager that's going to be their manager. And then we told the manager, we expect that person to be successful, but some people will not be. Just because we're going to try to go deep into the pool. Everybody can hire somebody that has, they have a disability, but it's not down in the deep end of the water.
Right.
Let's go down to the deep end and give those people a chance, at least a chance. And some people are going to make it, so give it your best.
Randy, we got to take a break real quick. When we get back, I want to hear more about this story. This is compelling. And also, I'm going to ask the question. I brought it up, but I'm curious. What advice do you give to a manager who says, how do I fire a person with disability? I want to hear the answer. We come back from break on Driven by Purpose. All right, welcome back to Driven by Purpose. My name is Evan Rosenbaum, along with Isaac and Mike, and we're here with our special guest, Randy Lewis. Randy, who is listening to the show, is a pioneer in this space, has been really a driving force and a champion for companies hiring people with disabilities. Really done amazing stuff. And my question is, because people have asked you, when you hire people with disabilities, that's great. What happens when there's a situation where you have to let somebody who has a disability go? You were asked that by other managers and people who hire. What did you tell them when they would ask you these questions?
Well, I'd ask them, how do they fire somebody without disability?
Right.
Why it should be, that's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
You know, or the question was one time disciplinary. When something goes wrong, you know, you get that form, you go in there with HR and your boss. They tell you, okay, you've done this, blah, blah, blah. If you do it again, here are the consequences. Any questions, blah, blah, sign here.
Right.
What we found was a lot of those folks didn't really understand that process. I'm talking about people with disabilities.
Right.
So we thought, gee, and one of those people was my son Austin, who now has been working 10 years at a Meijer distribution center. Wow. He got one of those. And I know that because I found it in his car. And he had signed it, had no questions. So the thing was, how can we help them understand the situation? So we said, why don't we let a parent or a fellow employee, their choice, if they want them to come to the session, why don't we let them do that? And they can help explain.
Right.
And everybody said, well, everybody's going to bring somebody in. No, they won't.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'd like to bring my friends into my disciplinary session.
Right.
But that's the little things we learned along the way. You know, we had set up lots of things, but most of it we learned and were open because we wanted a success. Like I was talking before, when somebody about worry about having to fire someone, you know, we said, we've done everything to give you a candidate who they think will be successful because they demonstrated those skills. They know we can get there, come to work. But here's the deal. We want to sleep well at night. So when it comes to having a problem, do what you think you need to do. And if you don't have the authority to do it, kick it up.
Yep.
Kick it up. If it has to get to me, that's okay.
Right.
Because we do want to sleep well at night. And we're going to tell the world, if we can't do this, nobody can. That's our standard of commitment to this. If we can't do it, it can't be done. And not only that kind of gave them empowerment, but it also gave them pride. And so it paid off both ways, for the person and for the supervisor.
Randy, you talk about learning things along the way. And you, when you did this with Walgreens, there was no playbook. You created it. And when you started this, what were some of the fears that you had? And how did you get over them? Or how did you get your team to move forward with that? And I ask this because I want to give other entrepreneurs who are considering this a little bit more confidence so that they can take the first step like you did. Do you know what I mean?
Well, it takes leadership. They had to know that I was for this, at the highest level, and had to bring it up over and over. This is not going to be a thing of the month. We're going to try this for 6 months or whatever. They had to know my commitment. And that's what happens a lot of times when people come, executives, they get it and they delegate it. There had to be no doubt in every person's mind in that center. And there were 600 people and you're going to have 1,000. Every one of them knew that I was committed to doing this and that I would do anything to make it successful. So at having their back and having that confidence and had that commitment. Oh, by the way, this is the best job of mine in life. It was, and it is for theirs too, because I retired in 12. There's been 5 replacements for me in that period. That's 5 chances to shut it down. Every time you have a new leadership, they had not shut it down because it works. And it's there.
Yeah, well, I think what's important, Randy, that's critical to that, and especially I've heard you talk about this, and I'd love to get a little bit more into what we call the champions, because that's what, as we've learned, our audience has learned, and what we've been talking about is the Inspiration Foundation seal. And this seal is to certify companies that are hiring individuals with disabilities. And what the goal is, yes, it's to get more people to hire individuals with disabilities. And what Mike and I have learned is like, there are so many great organizations that want to get people hired with disabilities, but there's not enough businesses hiring. So we have to make businesses, or we have to educate and get businesses to help, and we need to create more champions. And so can you talk a little bit around the champion? Because I think the champion, because I think this, all the economic information you're talking about, we all think culture is like such an important part, especially when we talk about millennials today and purpose. Can you talk to us about your secret sauce in the champion, and what is that secret sauce the champion can do to create the culture impact that this success story has been, I think a lot of companies are intrigued by?
Well, champion is a word used all around. You know, I'm a champion of this. I'm, you know, in this case, a champion is the person with the authority and the resources and the desire to do it. Those are the three things. If they're not, they're not a champion.
Right.
And a lot of people, HR for us, HR is a great resource, but they can't be the champion because they don't have the authority. Everybody looks up the chain of command, and if you're not a direct line on it, they'll blow you off for, you know, anything comes up.
Right.
Because I remember before I took over all the operations, I had all the studies and logistics and that, and I asked somebody to do something, do it down in the organization, even though I was a vice president. And it completely blew me off because I wasn't in his chain of command. So that's the champion. And that's the hardest thing about this, because everybody wants to delegate.
Randy, your work shows that hiring people with disabilities isn't just the right thing to do. It's the smart thing to do from a business perspective. If you could give one piece of advice to someone who is a champion, but isn't quite sure on how to move forward or how to take that first step, what would it be?
Well, first of all, make sure it's same jobs, same pay, side by side. And it's got to be in big enough numbers. If you want to, you can do that. You can hire any number you want. But if you want to change the whole culture and make the whole culture more productive and more engaged, then that number, I think it's, Isaac said 30% is a great number, and it's not hard to achieve. And we did. And our buildings, the higher percentage of people with disabilities, the better the performance for the entire building.
As somebody who's really monitoring this across all industries, Randy, is there a couple companies that you want to shout out that are doing a really good job when it comes to hiring people with disabilities?
Sephora, Meijer. Amazon's doing a pretty good job on this. They heard about it, started doing it. There's a whole listing of companies.
Everybody likes to trash Amazon because, you know, when you're the big kid, everybody's always looking to kind of take you down. But it's nice to hear that they're doing something great. Love that.
There's also a company called Clean Logic. I heard they're doing a decent job.
I heard they're good. They're going to be a dynasty before long, I understand.
Premium skincare products, dude.
But I mean, there's in all industry, I see Toyota is doing it. Lots of companies are doing it now, but
that's
it's always because they come and see it.
Great. I mean, really, that's the key, right? Go experience it. Don't just read about it. Go and see it for yourself. Yeah. Put eyes on it. Put boots on the ground. See the changes it makes. Interact with the people that work side by side, and see that, like, you know, everybody has this fear of what they don't know, right? You fear the unknown. Oh, I don't know. I'm scared to kind of try something new. But just go see it and see how successful it is. And there's data to back all this up.
Well, when we open the building, and you don't know if it's going to work. And one of our thoughts were, well, people with disabilities, they're going to need to perform the same way and all that kind of stuff. But they probably are not... can't work weekends, or they're going to have a lot more limits around things because of transportation stuff. And so none of the equipment worked when we opened. So we opened and nothing worked in it. Everything was equipment. There were 100 people walking around. You didn't know what was going on. And they had to work for 7 months every Saturday and work overtime every day for 7 months, the whole distribution center. And so I waited for a while to go down because I was hoping it would get fixed before I went down. And I've been there long enough to figure to deal with problems like this. And I would have the speech ready to explain to them about it. So I got in there and they usually want to say, when are we going to quit working overtime? When are you going to get this stuff fixed? I was ready for those questions.
Right.
And I met with team members, groups of team members, probably 10 per meeting. And the first question they asked me when I had made my spiel, said, man, we're working on this, trying to get it done. Their first question to me was, how can we help?
Yeah, that's wow. Amazing.
Yeah.
We put them through this. They did things above and beyond, and they're asking, what can they do more?
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing he goes.
That's amazing. And if we, not everybody's going to have that opportunity to visit the Anderson University, but one thing I did learn from Mr. Tom Gustafson and how he gets people to do a lot of what you're doing in the supply chain world is read your book. So I think the important part is, if you don't have a chance to visit Anderson University, Randy, I'm going to give you a plug here with no greatness without goodness. I think it's such a great book. And I know Tom said that's how he gets his, distribution centers to get excited and read your book. So I think that's the next best thing if we can't get you down there, because I think you've done a great job really telling your story. And I know we got to get to the end here, and I'll let Evan close us out because he's the master on it. But I just think your book and what you've done, Randy, and I'm really, really thankful for you being a mentor. I know I've come to you with a lot of about 10, 15 ideas all the time and doing it. And I just really appreciate you listening. And where we see the next phase in the beginning is this seal. And it wouldn't have been possible without, having you in my life. So I appreciate it.
Great. No, by the way, Tom Gustafson would be a great source. Everywhere he goes, he does this. He did it at Sephora. He went to other companies and has done it. He's been a great. So there's a lot of us out there, like you and Tom.
Well, Randy, I mean, look, credit where it's due. I mean, you had an opportunity you could have just, stood by idly and let this go. Well, you didn't. You took this one by the horns and you helped lead in and usher in a new era for people with disabilities, I think. Because if you look 10, 20 years ago, it was a radically different environment. And now, because of you specifically and people like you, I think that the whole climate is changing. You see more people that are willing to, take the steps and evolve in the right direction and bring on more people with disabilities because it's the right thing to do. You've provided all the answers that they could possibly ask. Oh, well, how are they... people with disabilities, how will it affect performance? Well, better. They're all the things that you said, they perform, they show up, they less problems, all this stuff. You're giving them all the reasons to continue to hire people with disabilities, to continue to pushing forward. It'll help the culture. It'll help their business. It'll help their bottom line. And as you said, everybody gets to sleep better at night knowing that you're doing the right thing. So really kudos to you. Thank you so much for everything that you've done and continue to do. We appreciate it. And remember, if you're watching this out there, tell a friend and tell a friend and tell a friend, like and subscribe. Driven by Purpose, we're going to continue to feature amazing leaders in business and the community. And we want to continue to bring it to you and, help us grow. We're doing a great job. We appreciate all the support so far. Stay at it. We're doing a great job. And we will check you on the next episode of Driven by Purpose. Thank you again, Randy, Isaac, and Mike.
Thank you, Randy.
Thank you.